Continue in Leviticus 23 this morning. So I ask that if you have your Bibles, that you would turn there this morning. We're going to read some large chunks from chapter 22, so they won't necessarily be on the screen this morning. So I ask that you would open your Bible or use your electronic communication device if that works for you as well. Just no emailing or text messages, all right? Let's read the word together. So open up there, and as you do that, I am a big fan of celebrations and parties. I know some of you in this room are really big fans. I've been to a couple of your parties. I'm just saying. We love celebrations. We love parties. They are very enjoyable for many reasons. But most importantly, typically, there usually is a focus for these gatherings. There's something of value that we have set aside to say, let's celebrate, let's enjoy this moment, let's mark this moment with a party or a celebration. You know, we just celebrated my wife's birthday. She's getting older. So we bought some gifts, planned a few activities, and of course, in our house, we had cake. We had cake this morning, we'll have cake this afternoon, we'll have cake next week. All of that to honor her, to celebrate her life. Many of you this afternoon, you'll gather with your families, you'll celebrate your moms, you'll acknowledge their tireless work, good or bad. Even if your mom has already passed, you'll inevitably still think fondly about her, celebrate her life. Maybe you hear her voice in the back of your mind. I always think of Jack when he says his mom goes, "Darling." But you'll celebrate. We've marked this day to celebrate that. And one thing's for certain, in the room this morning, we all had moms, good or bad. We all had moms. So we remember them today. And we do that for a reason. Now, I don't know, like I've already mentioned, what a day like this brings to you in terms of different emotions. But my point is this, okay? Please hear me. My point is actually this. We have markers on our calendar set aside to acknowledge certain things. I think that's a healthy practice. I think. That is until there starts to be days placed on our calendar to mark silly things. I did a quick Google search, and the first 12 days of May, we have had 20 plus national days. Things such as World Password Day. Not sure. Free Comic Book Day. All right. Star Wars Day. That's not too bad. May the 4th be with you, right? National Hoagie Day, which in my world, you didn't call a sandwich a hoagie, but National Hoagie Day. International No Diet Day, I like that one. Did you know there is also a Cactus Day? Which honestly should be widely celebrated here in the desert. My point is, though fun and interesting, with all of these days marked on our calendars, I think we've forgotten how to be mindful of important things in our lives, especially for the Christian community. God has moved. God has provided, and He still moves, and He still provides. We would be wise, brothers and sisters, and those visiting with us, we'd be wise to reflect often on His work. You know, this seems to be the point of Leviticus 23. This seems to be what God is doing in His people, to remember Him so they don't forget Him. So this morning, would you follow along as I read from Leviticus 23? Just to start with, we'll read the first two verses. That will be on the screen. And we'll pause there for a moment. Leviticus 23. The Lord spoke to Moses, a common saying over and over again. God speaks to Moses, Moses speaks to the people. Saying, "Speak to the people of Israel and say to them, these are the appointed feasts of the Lord that you shall proclaim as holy convocations. They are my appointed feasts." Stop there. There were days, apparently, and we'll find out, period of days, that the Lord, not only the Lord, but Yahweh Himself, that he desired for the people to set aside these days or period of days. And not only set them aside for reflection, but as we will see, there are very specific things they were required to do. The text this morning calls these things the Lord's appointed feasts. These are fixed days appointed by the Lord. And in these fixed moments are holy convocations. They were holy moments to do one thing: remember the Lord. They were, if you want just a simple definition, national gatherings for public worship. If you were to look at their calendar, these feasts and festivals would be listed where our Cactus Day is listed. They're national gatherings for public worship. Primarily, they oftentimes offered sacrifices, but if we look historically in later times, begin to include the reading of Scripture, the exposition of those Scriptures, these were moments that indeed were holy. You know, the most repeated phrase through all of these feasts, as we will see, is "do not work." That's one of the most common phrases that comes over and over and over again. It seems that these feasts, these appointed days, these fixed days on the calendar, were to be celebrated by trusting and remembering the provisions of the Lord by not working. Do not work. In a sense, remember that your greatest work, your greatest act as a people, is to trust the Lord. Remember his work to soon not forget him. They, and might I say we, are in the habit of forgetting God. We have amnesia way too often. They are in the habit of forgetting God. So God says, remember. Remember. Do no work, because his work is greater. And his work is the source of all of their and our provisions. So what are these feasts? Well, we will look at them each in turn, but I'm not going to go into great detail of each of these feasts and all the particulars. But I intend on giving a summary of each, hopefully to uncover its purpose, to guide us, and to see their usefulness in the people of God. Now, when we look at these feasts, they're kind of broken up into two big buckets. There's one of spring feasts, Passover, first fruit, and wheats. Then there seems to be a bit of a gap, and we move over to the autumn feast, trumpets, Day of Atonement, and booths. That's how we will handle them today. But first, the spring festivals. Now, I'm going to read verses 3 all the way down to 22 because I want you to get a sense of what God is calling them to. Now, I don't have this on the screen because it's rather long, but I ask that you would follow along as I read through this. Verse 3 of chapter 23. 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work. It is a Sabbath to the Lord in all your dwelling places. Verse 4. These are the appointed feasts of the Lord, the holy convocations which you shall proclaim at the time appointed for them. In the first month of the 14th day of the month, at twilight, is the Lord's Passover. And on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread to the Lord. For 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. Verse 7. On the first day you shall have a holy convocation. You shall not do any ordinary work, but you shall present a food offering to the Lord for 7 days. On the seventh day is a holy convocation. You shall not do any ordinary work. Verse 9. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the people of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land that I give you and reap its harvest, you shall bring the sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest, and he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord so that you may be accepted. On the day after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. And on the day when you wave the sheaf, you shall offer a male lamb a year old without blemish as a burnt offering to the Lord. Verse 13, and the grain offering with it shall be 2/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil, a food offering to the Lord with a pleasing aroma. And the drink offering with it shall be of wine, a fourth of a hin. And you shall eat neither bread nor grain, parched or fresh, until this same day, until you have brought the offering of your God. It is a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. Verse 15, the last of the spring feast. Verse 15, you shall count 7 full weeks from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering. You should count 50 days to the day after the 7th Sabbath. Anyone confused yet? Need like a calendar, right? A calculator to get through all this. But notice the details, the specificity, right? Then you shall present a grain offering of new grain to the Lord. You shall bring from your dwelling places 2 loaves of bread to be waved, made of 2/10 of an ephah. They shall be of fine flour, and they shall be baked with leaven as first fruits to the Lord. And you shall present with the bread 7 lambs a year old without blemish, and 1 bull from the herd and 2 rams. They shall be a burnt offering to the Lord with their grain offering and their drink offerings, a food offering with a pleasing aroma to the Lord. And you shall offer 1 male goat for a sin offering and 2 male lambs a year old as a sacrifice of peace offering. And the priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruits as a wave offering before the Lord with the 2 lambs. They shall be holy to the Lord for the priest. And he shall make a proclamation on the same day. You shall hold a holy convocation. You shall not do any ordinary work. It is a statute forever in all your dwelling places throughout your generations. Verse 22. And when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap your field right up to its edges, nor shall you gather the gleanings after your harvest. You shall leave them for the poor, for the sojourner. I am the Lord your God. Many details. It must be an important thing for the people of God. But did you notice, first, before we even get into the spring festivals, what does God do? First, the weekly festival of Sabbath is to be diligently observed. This seems to be the building block for all that is listed after this chapter. The weekly gathering of the Sabbath becomes the building block for everything from there. God intends for his people to remember and not soon forget his work. And his work, come to find out, allows for rest. The people are to imitate their Creator by working 6 days and resting on the 7th, making it a holy convocation for worship. Once that is firmly in place, then the text moves through the various feasts that the people are to appoint to fit into their regular rhythms of lives. To do what? To not forget. First, the Passover, also known as the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It was established to commemorate the historical deliverance from Egypt. If you want some of the details, which Leviticus doesn't give us a whole lot, Exodus 12 and 13 gives us many details of how this was to be observed. But it was designed to remind them that God indeed delivered them from something they could not do. It was to remind them of the Passover. It was one of the 3 annual festivals. It was observed on the 14th day of the first month. They don't have a similar calendar to us. But with technology, you can see about when that happened. For 7 days, they had unleavened bread. This symbolized the haste, the quickness by which the Israelites left Egypt. It was eaten, and no ordinary work was done. The first and last day of this time were to be holy convocations. Sacrifices were offered. As that gives way to the Feast of First Fruits, It led into the Feast of Weeks, later to be known the Feast of Pentecost, which, if you're interested, is the time that we are actually in right now, 50 days after Easter, comes the day of Pentecost. It begins with the first harvest, first fruits. Then 50 days later, a feast was observed to mark the end of the grain harvest. It was indeed a day of joy, as Deuteronomy 16:16 reminds us, where the Israelites, God's people, expressed gratitude for the many blessings of the harvest that they knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Lord had provided. It was a thanksgiving that was indeed from a people who knew they had been redeemed. This service includes a sin offering and a peace offering. It had multiple sacrifices to remind them that they are a people redeemed by the work of God. It also was a reminder of their deliverance from Egypt as God's covenant people. The Feast of Weeks concluded with a provision for the poor and the needy. Now, we interacted with this practice of leaving the outer edges of your field unharvested was established a few chapters back. It would seem that God wants them, in their remembrance of His provisions, to provide for those like them who are helpless. A symbolic gesture to remind them what God indeed had done for them. And that's just the spring. Many moments to remember what God had done for them. Then we move into the fall festivals, about September to October. Follow along as I start back up in verse 23, and I'll read down to 43. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall observe a day of solemn rest, a memorial proclaimed with blast of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall not do any ordinary work, and you shall present a food offering to the Lord." Verse 26. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Now on the tenth day of the seventh month is the day of atonement. It shall be for you a time of holy convocation, and you shall afflict yourself and present a food offering to the Lord. And you shall not do any work on that very day, for it is a day of atonement, to make atonement for you before the Lord your God. For whoever is not afflicted on that very day shall be cut off from his people. And whoever does any work on that very day, that person I will destroy from among his people. You shall not do any work. It is a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwelling places. It shall be to you a Sabbath of solemn rest. And you shall afflict yourself. On the ninth day of the month, beginning at evening, from the evening to the evening shall you keep Sabbath." Verse 33. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel, saying, on the 15th day of the seventh month, and for 7 days is the Feast of Booths to the Lord. On the first day shall be a holy convocation, and you shall not do any ordinary work. For 7 days you shall present food offerings to the Lord. On the eighth day you shall hold a holy convocation and present a food offering to the Lord. It is a solemn assembly. You shall not do any ordinary work. These are the appointed feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim as times of holy convocation, holy gathering." Is what that means. "For presenting to the Lord food offerings, burnt offerings, grain offerings, sacrifices, drink offering, each on its proper day. Besides the Lord's Sabbaths, and besides your gifts, and besides all your vow offerings, and besides all your free will offerings which you give to the Lord." Verse 39. "And on the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the produce of the land, you shall celebrate the feast of the Lord 7 days. And on the first day shall be a solemn rest, and on the eighth day shall be a solemn rest. And you shall take on the first day the fruit of splendid trees, branches of palm trees, and boughs of leafy greens, and willows of the brook. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. You shall celebrate it as a feast to the Lord for 7 days in the year. It is a statute forever throughout your generations. You shall celebrate it in the seventh month, verse 42. You shall dwell in booths for 7 days. All native Israelites shall dwell in booths, that your generation may know that I made the people of Israel dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Verse 44, thus Moses declared to the people of Israel the appointed feast of the Lord. Even as I read that, we find ourselves wrapped up, almost confused with the many, many details. Once again, there must be something important about this festival, or these festivals, these feasts. Now, these particular festivals that happen in the fall, they begin with a blow of the trumpet on the first day of the seventh month. It is a holy convocation was observed and no work was to be done. Now, these festivals have a bit of a more of a solemn feel to them. Notice that word over and over again. Not only do they have more of a solemn feel to them, they prescribe 4 extra Sabbaths, including the most holy day of atonement. You see, spring and summer are gone. All the fields have been picked and farm work is at a minimum. It is time now for the people of God to take time to reflect and consider their spiritual state. So on the 10th day of that seventh month that began with the blast of a trumpet, the 10th day is the Day of Atonement. It was observed with heavy affliction, and once again, no work. Now, we saw all the particulars back in Leviticus 17. I'd encourage you later this afternoon to look back over that, see all that it was made up of. But it was one day to deeply consider their state before the Lord. Not only are they to consider the work the Lord has done is to atone for their sins, but they are indeed to take this day seriously. Do you notice the consequences if they don't carry out this particular day? Well, in this particular feast, there are grave consequences if they don't participate fully. Here's how the New Bible Dictionary describes this day. Listen to this. The Day of Atonement served as a reminder that the daily, weekly, monthly sacrifices made at the altar or burnt offering were not sufficient to atone for sin. Even at the altar of burnt offering, the worshiper stood afar off, unable to approach the holy presence of God, who was manifest between the cherubim and the holy of holies. On this one day in the year, atoning blood was brought into the holy of holies, the divine throne room, by the holy priest, the high priest, as a representation of the people. This was the most holy day, done once a year as a reminder that God had moved. This then leads to the final feast of Leviticus 23, the Feast of Booths, or for some of you, Tabernacle is might what you see in your text. It was kept for 7 days, from the 15th of that seventh month to the 22nd day of that seventh. Now, its name, the Feast of Booths, or Tabernacles, comes from the requirement for the people of God to do what? To live in booths. Made from what? Branches of trees and palm branches. Many sacrifices were offered on the 7 days. As a feast, it was never to be forgotten. And we see throughout Scripture, it was observed in the time of Solomon, Hezekiah, and after their great exile. This feast, once again, it also reinforced the Exodus from Egypt and it reminded God's people, the Jews, of their wandering and dwelling in booths in the wilderness. See the remembering so that we don't forget. It pointed to the truth that Israel's life, their very existence, everything that they experienced, everything as a people, it rested upon the redemption, which is ultimately in the forgiveness of sin. See the value? See what God is doing here with his people? These feasts are pointing to the reality so that God's people did not forget that their entire life, their entire existence, who they were, was dependent upon God and all that he had done for them. These festivals, as one scholar put it, they create major interruption to daily living. Just that alone kind of makes it feel valuable. Daily interruptions to daily living, and they introduce what? An element of variety into the rhythm of life. To do what? To remember their Lord and not soon forget their Lord. Notice how all of these feasts, spring to fall, the entire year, all of these feasts include what the Sabbath prescribed weekly: rest and reflection upon whom? God. God is the source of the reflection. God is the source of all their provisions. It is his mighty work, particularly of redemption. With the daily observance of the Sabbath, one could easily forget the many, 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 and might I keep saying the many, 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 many ways that God has indeed moved, how God has provided, how God has cared for them, how their very existence is upon the work of God in their lives. These festivals, these feasts, were to remind them of the work of God. So these moments were ways of interrupting. Your life needs to be interrupted sometime. It was a way to interrupt their daily life in order to remember and in a symbolic way give thanks. Brothers and sisters and those visiting with us, I don't know how any plainer to put it than this. We are to remember the Lord in order not to forget the Lord. Oh, that sounds so simplistic, but do you understand what they're designed to do? We have amnesia way too often. We have a tendency to forget the Lord and his work in our life. So he, in his good grace, he says, remember me. And in our remembrance, we will soon not forget the Lord. It seems foolish to say that we would even forget the Lord, but we do. We are to remember the Lord in order not to forget the Lord. If you're anything like me, your day blows by. You lay your head down at night, and the Lord has been yet just a minor thought. That you couldn't dare interrupt the busyness of your day, the regular rhythm of your life, to remember that the Lord indeed really cares and has provided for you in the most ultimate way. I mean, think about it. What we are doing here today and what we do every week when we gather is to remember the Lord so we don't forget the Lord. What we are doing in this very moment, from singing in prayer, the preaching of God's word, is to remember the Lord so we don't forget the Lord. And in doing that, what are we doing? We are resting. Doesn't that word sound refreshing this morning? We are resting. We're resting in the work of God. And some of you probably need to rest. You're so tired because you've forgotten the Lord. And you're spinning wheels on your own effort. We are to remember the Lord in order not to forget the Lord. We are resting in His work this morning, brothers and sisters. Do you know the entire last week of Jesus' life? Do you recognize as I'm reading through these feasts that the last week of Jesus' life, that a lot of these feasts are actually in play? Remember, He celebrates what with the disciples? The Passover meal. He celebrates that with His disciples, and He transforms the feast into a major show and tell. Hey, what you've been doing for centuries, resting in the work of God, is about to be thoroughly fulfilled in what I am going to do. Rest. In a major moment of show and tell, He sits with His disciples and He takes the Passover meal and He radically transforms it, showing them that He was indeed the Passover lamb. He was and is the fulfillment of all of those elements that are spread on the table. That one, that's me. Oh, that one, that's me. Oh, that one, that's me. He celebrates that Passover meal, transforms it, and shows them who He is. Then 50 days later, the day of Pentecost. Anything significant in that moment? Yeah, pretty significant. 50 days later, if you're unfamiliar, I'll just tell you, comes the day of Pentecost. Why does that happen? Because Leviticus 23, setting us up for a glorious moment for the church, for the people of God. 50 days later, Pentecost comes. Jesus shows up. What does He do in that glorious moment in Acts, the beginning of Acts? He sends the disciples out and He leaves them whom? The promised Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes in fullness on the day of Pentecost so that you and I can rest today. Because God has worked, God has moved, He shows up. The oft-repeated command to do no work, brothers and sisters, it is done to remind us that we stood under a debt we could not afford. That we cannot work ourselves out of. Try all you will. Work all your might towards it. You can't do anything. It is a debt too great that you can't afford. So God says, come and rest. Rest and understand that rest is only found in God through the work of His Son, Jesus. Oh, come and rest. So mark this day as a day to rest in the finished work of Jesus. And for some of us, I sense that we've lost sight of that. The finished work of Jesus. Why do we gather every Sunday? Now, I'd love to talk, and I would love just to gather to talk. But there's more happening. We've marked out the day to remind ourselves of what we have in our Savior, Jesus. Mark it, fix it, appoint it, because the finished work of God is that valuable and that great for us to reflect on often, because you are way too tired after 6 days of work. God has worked, God has moved, and God has provided. If you are tired, rejoice, weary sinner. There is rest. Remember the Lord in order to not forget the Lord. He has labored on your behalf. Why? Must I say emphatically, then why As if you can change your sinful state, do you work to make God like you? And I'm as guilty as anyone in this room. Remember the Lord, to not forget the Lord. He has labored on your behalf. So why, as if you can change your sinful state, do you work to make God like you? Like Colossians says in chapter 2, verse 20, if with Christ you die to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to his regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. Referring to things that all perish as they are used, according to human precepts and teaching. Remember the Lord to not forget the Lord and depend on things that are inadequate. Because what does verse 23 say? These all have indeed an appearance of wisdom. In promoting self-made religion, asceticism, severity to the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. Brothers and sisters, those visiting, today we are reminded to do whatever it takes to not forget that truth. I might be guilty after several years of preaching here to say, Pastor, you say the same thing over and over again. Well, I need to. Until we remember it, until we believe it, we need to come back. Even the Lord instructs us to consistently remember the Lord, to not forget the Lord. Mom, your kiddos are tough, no doubt about it. If they're anything like my kids, they're really tough. Many of you have big war wounds of being a mom. Some of you are in the trenches, fighting hard, with the helmet on, the vest, maybe a small little gun, no. You're in the trenches, you're fighting. And labor you should. Labor you should. But make no mistake about it. Your greatest labor, your greatest work is to rest in the work of God. You're free. You are completely free of the burden of making your kids something that you cannot. Your kid needs to see you rest in the finished work of God and rejoice even in your failures. Your kid needs to see you to open up to the body of God, to receive and to take help in those labors. Mom, labor you should, but labor in the finished work of God. And you moms out there that have fought the battle long before we even existed, remind us of that great truth. Show us how, show our mothers how you rested in the finished work of God when it was hard. We need it. We are to remember the Lord in order to not forget the Lord. I know I'm being repetitive, but repetition's not bad. It helps truth sink in. There's a reason why the oft-repeated phrase of do no work, rest, is repeated here. You know another major and really practical application of today is to have regular rhythms in your life to remember the Lord in order to not forget the Lord. We as a church, as God's people, we must take many opportunities to mark and celebrate God's work in our lives. The church has forgotten the value of feasts and festivals. To what? To interrupt our daily lives as God's people to do one thing. Remember. Remember the work of God and rest in the work of God. We as a church need to embrace those more understood holy days and reflect. As one scholar put it, he puts it so well. Recognition of the Old Testament background of these Christian festivals could perhaps give greater depth to Christian worship. Maybe you could come to the room a bit differently each and every Sunday as we gather to remember the Lord so we don't forget the Lord. Or when we celebrate Good Friday, we should think not only of Christ's death on the cross for us, but of the first Exodus from Egypt, which anticipated our deliverance from the slavery of sin. At Easter, we recall Christ's resurrection. We see it as a pledge of our own resurrection at the last day. Pentecost, we celebrate the gift of the Spirit and all of the spiritual blessings. We are to remember the Lord, to not forget the Lord. We would do well to be mindful of the Lord's work throughout history and in our lives specifically. Put mile markers down when the Lord moves. Journal, write, mark your calendar. Do whatever it takes to remember the Lord's work. Celebrate and reflect to remember God so you don't forget God. Just by the simple act of dragging yourself out of bed this morning when you didn't want to chasing the kids around the house, trying to get them ready, or just getting up and just simply tired. Coming here regularly to Sunday gatherings so you can fight the amnesia that so easily plagues us as followers of Christ. And I would be remiss not to mention this morning, if you have not rested in the finished work of God through Christ, might I invite you this morning to experience rest like you've never experienced before. To understand this moment as a moment to be mindful of the work of God. Through faith and repentance, we grow dependent on the work of God through Christ Himself. If God is stirring your heart, that is a good thing. May I encourage you to follow up. There's my information, to call, to text, to email, to grab somebody this morning. Because that rest is glorious. And it's through the finished work of Christ that we rest most deeply. Would you pray with me? Father God, this morning, oftentimes I don't know if we can feel the full weight of your text, but I do know that, Spirit, you can work. I do know, Spirit, that you are far better at changing men and women's hearts. So would you take these seemingly weird feasts that we might look at as no account and begin to stir our hearts in remembrance of you? Father, that when we gather together, we are remembering. When we take the Lord's Supper, we are remembering. So that we don't soon forget. Father, we pray that our remembrance would lead us to an overflow of joy and worship in you. So, Father, in these moments, would you continue to work as we go about our day? Would you continue to work and stir our hearts with remembrance? If there's some among us who don't know you, may this be a day that where they can experience through faith and repentance your great and glorious rest. Father, it is in your holy and precious name we pray. Amen.